Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Federal Reserve slows the pace of rate hikes as data shows consumers pulling back on spending.
One of the things about rate increases is that economists like to say they work with long and variable lags. So, for instance, has the housing market felt the full effect of the cumulative rise in interest rates over the past year, or is there going to be more pain ahead? We're just not entirely sure.
And Meta revenues fall for a third consecutive quarter. Plus, the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast takes on the challenges your new boss may be facing. It's Wednesday, February 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Federal Reserve has approved a quarter percentage point interest rate hike and signaled there are additional rate hikes still to come. Today's latest increase comes after six previous rate hikes going back to March of 2022. During a press conference, Fed Chair Jerome Powell underscored the success so far in tamping down inflation.
We can now say, I think, for the first time, that the disinflationary process has started. We can see that, and we see it really in goods prices so far.
But he added that there's still more work to be done. Our economics reporter, Harriet Torrey, explains.
While we saw improvements in goods prices, there are definitely areas where inflation is not moving in quite the right direction, and that would be, you know, services like housing. And so as a result, he did say several times during the press conference that he expects that the Fed is going to continue raising rates and that they're going to have to hold them there for a while. He said that given what they expect inflation to do over this year, he doesn't expect that the Fed will start cutting rates in 2022.
And stick around because we'll have more from Harriet on consumer spending later in the show. U.S. stocks had been sliding ahead of the Fed meeting, but ultimately ended the day with gains as the Dow was up less than a tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 was up a little over a percent, and the Nasdaq gained 2%. Meta posted declining revenue for a third quarter in a row. The company that owns Facebook and Instagram brought in $32.2 billion in the fourth quarter, down 4.5% from Q4 of 2021. Factors behind the drop include growing competition from TikTok, plus the ripple effects from changes imposed by Apple in 2021 on how users and ad data are tracked. Last year, Meta warned that those changes alone would translate to $10 billion in lost sales in 2022. Meta also announced a $40 billion increase to its share buyback program. Shares jumped on the news in early after-hours trading. Meanwhile, a federal judge declined to stop Meta from acquiring the virtual reality startup Within Unlimited, a person familiar with the ruling said. The decision, which isn't public yet, is a boost to Meta's virtual reality ambitions. The lawsuit was based on an unusual theory of competitive harm focusing on potential future competition in a budding industry. It's also widely seen as part of FTC Chair Lina Khan's opposition to big tech expansion. A lawyer for President Biden says the Justice Department did not find any documents with classified markings on them during a search of his beach house in Rehoboth, Delaware today. The lawyer, Bob Bauer, says the DOJ did take some materials and handwritten notes from the house, which appeared to relate to Biden's time as vice president. It's the first day of special counsel Robert Hur's inquiry into how and why classified documents ended up in Biden's home and office. In Memphis, hundreds gathered for the funeral of 29-year-old Tyre Nichols weeks after his deadly encounter with local police. In a eulogy, civil rights leader Reverend Al Sharpton called the incident especially tragic, given Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis.
What has happened to the dream? In the city where the dreamer laid down and shed his blood, you have the unmitigated gall to beat your brother.
Vice President Kamala Harris also spoke at Nichols' funeral, urging the Senate to pass the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act, a police reform bill that passed the House in April of 2021.
And as Vice President of the United States, we demand that Congress pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Joe Biden will sign it. and we should not delay, and we will not be denied. It is non-negotiable.
Five former Memphis police officers have been charged with second-degree murder for Nichols' death, among other charges. Earlier this week, three Memphis emergency medical technicians were fired and two more police officers were relieved from duty. Troubled Indian conglomerate Adani Group is scrapping a $2.5 billion stock offering just a day after announcing it had enough investor bids for a so-called follow-on public offering, or FPO. The move comes as a sell-off in the company's stock deepens. The rout began 5 days ago after a New York-based short seller, Hindenburg Research, published a report with wide-ranging allegations of fraud against the company. The Indian conglomerate has lost some $85 billion since the report was released. Adani has criticized Hindenburg's report, questioning the short seller's motives in its rebuttal. FedEx plans to lay off more than 10% of its global management staff as demand for shipping slows. The news comes a day after United Parcel Service said it was facing a slowdown and forecast that its yearly sales could decline for the first time since 2009. And electric vehicle startup Rivian has also announced another round of layoffs. In a note to employees, the company's CEO said it plans to cut another 6% of its workforce. That follows a cut of the same size made last year. The internal email was viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, the Fed increases rates and signals more to come. We'll talk about signs the economy is slowing and how it might impact the path of future rate hikes after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Inflation was practically the word of the year for 2022. But despite inflation ticking up for much of last year, growth in consumer spending held strong, with growth in purchases actually exceeding price increases by about 2 percentage points. So while inflation was bad, people were still willing to pay the higher prices. Now, though, there's growing evidence of a slowdown. Retail sales have fallen for multiple months. Spending on services ended the year flat, and home sales fell to their lowest level since 2014. The slowdown comes as the Federal Reserve continues raising interest rates, another 0.25 percentage point today, to bring down inflation. Joining me now to talk more about rates and their slowing effect on American consumer spending is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey. Hi, Harriet.
Hi.
So, Harriet, to some extent, isn't this what the Fed wants to see?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the signs that demand is cooling, for instance, for labor, but also for spending in terms of goods and services, are definitely, you know, part of the picture that the Fed wants to see. I mean, the reason that the Fed has been raising rates has been to get inflation under control. And one of the reasons that inflation has picked up strongly since pandemic lockdowns is because there was basically a lot of money chasing too few goods and services, and that stimulated demand. So they're trying to get demand down, and they've been raising rates in order to do that. I mean, at the same time, the Fed is also trying to engineer a soft landing, which is bringing down inflation without causing an economic downturn. But yes, they do want to see some pullback on the consumer side, because consumer spending has just been so strong. Basically, since the middle of 2020, when things started to reopen, you know, consumers just wanted to get out there. They wanted to have travel and experiences that they weren't able to enjoy during lockdown. And they were really aided in their efforts by a lot of pandemic stimulus funds that they were able to save up during the pandemic.
And we will get back to that soft landing, Harriet. But first, I want to talk about another balancing act here. As the Fed is raising interest rates to bring down inflation, that's also raising the cost of borrowing, which is hitting consumers as well. So how is the Fed trying to balance that out?
It is. The main area of the economy where we've seen this is the housing market, which is in a huge slump. You know, house prices have been falling. Home sales were down a lot in 2022. They had their worst year since 2014. So this is really a direct impact of Fed rate increases, because it's just so much more expensive to borrow now to buy a house, as well as, of course, you know, we saw a big run up in house prices. And that is also having an impact on other kinds of debt. So for instance, credit card balances, if you have a balance on your credit card, those rates keep ticking up and it's just more expensive to carry that over every month. And it just makes consumers think twice, you know, if they're thinking about buying a new house or making a big purchase, let's say to buy a car or something that they buy on credit or finance, an appliance or something like that, it's just an extra burden when borrowing costs are higher and it's going to cost you that much more money to go out and make the purchase.
And to that point, Harriet, where are we seeing consumers pulling back the most right now?
The first area that we really saw a pullback was, as I said, housing. But we also saw a pullback in goods spending. During the pandemic, when people were stuck at home, they really, really went for it in terms of buying things like laptop computers, home furnishings, new things, new appliances, things for the home. There was a huge backlog, a lot of supply chain disruptions because there was just so much demand for a lot of things, goods, when people were stuck at home. And then as the economy started to reopen, we saw that pivot somewhat to services. So once people were able to go out and travel and go to restaurants, they started to sort of allocate more of their dollars to that and pulled back on goods. And we're definitely still seeing that, you know, especially expensive goods, things that you might need to borrow money to buy, such as furniture or autos, electronics. We've seen those go down quite a bit in the retail sales report recently. And it's just a sign that consumers are really thinking twice before making those big purchases.
We also saw this week some pullback on wage growth that seems to be slowing a bit as well.
We've seen some signs that wage growth is cooling, and there are some other hints that the labor market is starting to show a couple of cracks. You know, we've seen things like weekly hours have gone into decline. It's taking a bit longer for people to find a new job when they lose a job. So the labor market is undoubtedly still very strong. I mean, the unemployment rate was 3.5% in December, and employers are still creating jobs. And, you know, the pace has slowed somewhat, but they are still, you know, it's still happening. At the same time, we have seen some high profile companies announcing big layoffs, you know, in the tech industry, for instance, financial services. And when people see things like that in the news and, you know, see these layoff announcements, people do sort of start to pause a bit and say, okay, well, what if my industry is next? Or, you know, what if my job is next on the line? What am I going to do? And one of the results of that is that people pull back on their spending and they start to try and save a bit more and just prepare for a rainy day.
So let's get back to that big question, Harriet. We know consumer spending accounts for the lion's share of the economy, about 70%. So what does this pullback tell us as the Fed is trying to make that soft landing and avoid tipping the economy into a recession?
I mean, that's a great question. The Fed is definitely still seeking to achieve this soft landing. It's just a question of whether they can. And there are just a lot of unknowns. I mean, one of the things about rate increases is that economists like to say they work with long and variable lags. So we don't know. I mean, has the housing market felt the full effect of the cumulative rise in interest rates over the past year? Or is there going to be more pain ahead? We're just not entirely sure. And so the Fed is trying to kind of take its time now to assess and to look at the incoming data, because yes, it wants to achieve a soft landing, keep as many people as possible in jobs and just kind of tap the brakes a bit and get inflation down. But really, that's the key, is they really want to get inflation down. And they've said before that this is their number one priority, because over the long term, the impact of inflation is just very pernicious on consumers and businesses. So their overriding goal is to bring down inflation and maintain price stability, achieve price stability. But there's this sort of rocky road as to whether they're going to be able to pull that off without causing a recession.
Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey. Harriet, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And finally, there are over 10 million open jobs in the U.S. right now, according to the Labor Department. That means a lot of people are out looking for work, including maybe your next boss. With more remote management and a volatile economy, leading teams has become a lot harder in recent years, which has led to increased turnover in managerial ranks. All of this can leave new bosses with a steep learning curve as they struggle to figure out the ins and outs of leading, well, you. Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter sheds some light on some of these challenges.
They might have, you know, lots on their plate they're trying to balance. And particularly now, when organizations have gotten flatter, you know, bosses might have bigger teams than before. They might have new responsibilities. And they're trying to navigate sort of the current economic climate, which does look a little bit murky. And I think that all just puts pressure on bosses.
You can hear more about how to get on your boss's good side and how to help them help you do your job better on our sister podcast, As We Work, which you can find in all the usual places you find podcasts. Just search for As We Work. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.